WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review of Bonnie Bernard's first novel, A Good House. It won the 1999 Giller Prize, which is Canada's most prestigious literary award. It's just been published in the U.S. Maureen says it's one of those tales of ordinary life told with extraordinary precision.
Why is it that I mentally yawn when somebody, even a friend, begins talking about their multi-generational family history? The aunt whose marriage dissolved after 20 years, the step-cousin who was never quite right in the head. But give me those same family sagas in fictional form, and I'll usually devour them. Some of the difference has to do with the clarity and succinctness that writing can impose on a storyteller. And there's also the implicit assurance in fiction that since an author god is in control, there's a design, an ultimate meaning to those stray stories about the relatives. I guess that's all true of A Good House, a novel by Bonnie Bernard that was an award-winning bestseller in Canada last year. But what I most enjoyed about A Good House was that it absolved me of my passivity as a reader. The characters in this novel are so busy, and Bernard describes their mundane busyness in such enticing detail that I felt like I was busy doing something useful too. There are pages and pages here filled up with descriptions of people stripping wallpaper and canning fruit and cooking. The women are always putting together big meals where they scrub potatoes and caramelize carrots and rub roasts. For me, A Good House exerts the same vicarious and virtuous appeal as all those cooking and home improvement shows on PBS. I love to watch as somebody else does all that work. A Good House is set in the small town of Stonebrook, Ontario. It opens in 1949 and stretches all the way to 1997. The story focuses on the Chambers family. Bill, who returns from service in World War II, minus a couple of fingers, and his wife Sylvia, their three kids, Patrick, Paul, and little Daphne, who smashes up her jaw while performing in an amateur neighborhood circus. Her face never looks quite balanced again. Sylvia dies young of cancer, and Bill soon marries Margaret, a plain and wise woman who becomes the heart and conscience of the family. Years pass, thousands of big meals are made and consumed, the adult kids marry, divorce, procreate, mess up and die in unexpected ways, and the town and country around the Chambers clan slowly, subtly change, mostly for the worse. It's probably all more absorbing to read about than to hear about. Bernard was an acclaimed short story writer before she wrote this, her first novel, and she has the poetic precision of language of somebody used to working in a more compact form. Here, for instance, is how she describes the conversation around Sylvia's deathbed, circa 1955. The adults tried to talk about things Sylvia might find interesting. Sandy Koufax and the Brooklyn Dodgers, Lassie, James Dean being killed like that, but everyone listened too politely, too attentively to the speaker. Almost all of them were too unnaturally quick to laugh or offer agreement. Sylvia heard their words not as sentences deliberately formed to tell a person something, but as dull, one-at-a-time thuds against the dull silence that had begun to wall her in. Reading A Good House gave me a sense of déjà vu all over again. The fact that this is a post-World War II family saga, that wife number one dies, leaving her husband to muddle through, and that the author, Bonnie Bernard, was no spring chicken when she began her novel writing career, all reminded me of a novel I always recommend to people who ask for a good story. That's Matters of Chance by another late bloomer, Jeanette Haine. Both are novels you can get lost in, although Matters of Chance is much more inventive and magical than A Good House, which engagingly plods along. It's the difference between the shimmering New York City of the 1950s, where Matters of Chance is largely set, and Stonebrook, Ontario, Canada.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A Good House by Bonnie Bernard. Coming up, our classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz reads a poem from his new book, This is Fresh Air. Thank you. Our classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz is also an English teacher and a poet. He says he's especially interested in the way we use and misuse language in our everyday speech and the possible revelations that come from that misuse.
A few years ago, I was in an ice cream parlor and ordered a vanilla cone. "Easier said than done," the guy at the counter replied, perhaps with more meaning than he intended. I was reminded of that by an article I just saw in Harper's called "Dubya as a Second Language." It's about the fascinating English spoken by one of our presidential candidates, who's quoted as saying, "He can't have it both ways. He can't take the high horse and then claim the low road." I would almost vote for him just so I could hear him talk. Of course, we're all guilty of this phenomenon. I have a poem that celebrates exactly these kinds of twisted expressions. Proverbs from Purgatory. It was déjà vu all over again. "I know this town like the back of my head. People who live in glass houses are worth two in the bush. One hand scratches the other. A friend in need is worth two in the bush. A bird in the hand makes waste. Life isn't all it's crapped up to be. It's like finding a needle in the eye of the beholder. It's like killing one bird with two stones. My motto in life has always been, get it over with. Two heads are better than none. A rolling stone deserves another. All things wait for those who come. A friend in need deserves another. I trust him as long as I could throw him. He smokes like a fish. He's just a chip off the old tooth. I'll have him eating out of my lap. A friend in need opens a can of worms. Too many cooks spoil the child. An ill wind keeps the doctor away. The wolf at the door keeps the doctor away. People who live in glass houses keep the doctor away. A friend in need shouldn't throw stones. A friend in need washes the other. A friend in need keeps the doctor away. A stitch in time is only skin deep. A verbal agreement isn't worth the paper it's written on. A cat may look like a king. Know which side of the bed your butter is on. Nothing is cut and dried in stone. You can eat more flies with honey than with vinegar. Don't let the cat out of the barn. Let's burn that bridge when we get to it. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Don't cross your chickens before they hatch. Do not read this sign. Throw discretion to the wolves. After the twig is bent, the barn door is locked. After the barn door is locked, you can come in out of the rain. A friend in need locks the barn door. There's no fool like a friend in need. We've passed a lot of water since then. At least we got home in two pieces. All's well that ends. It ain't over till it's over. There's always one step further down you can go. It's a milestone hanging around my neck. Include me out. It was déjà vu all over again.
Lloyd Schwartz teaches English at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. Proverbs from Purgatory appears in Lloyd's new book of poems, Cairo Traffic. It will be published October 1st.